WORQ Green Bay Fox Cities.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table. Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we are going to do something a little bit different, and in just a moment, we're going to introduce a special guest at the table. But first, let me just tell you what we are all about here at the table. What we do here is we talk about biblical womanhood. We talk about issues and things that just really affect us as women of God. You know, we are trying to be those women who are pleasing to Him, and it's not always easy. So we get together and we talk about that here at the table.
And part of that conversation is a real Bible study. We do that here every day. We've already got some on our website in both the Old and the New Testament, so please feel free to gather a group of folks around, and you can download the podcast, download the notes, and have your own Bible study. But right now on air, we are studying the book of 1 Samuel with our teacher, Beth Seifert, and she's going to be here in just a little bit with today's lesson, and then Amy and I will discuss it and also talk about how we can apply the truths we've learned as we grow closer to God.
Oh, and that's so important that we do that. We don't want to be just listeners and hearers of the Word. We want to be doers of the Word, because, and we need to understand together what that is like. Well, like I said at the top of the show, we're doing something a little bit different today. We've invited an old friend back to the table with us, Casey Fayas, and she's back with us. Hey, Casey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, I hear that Wisconsin accent ringing through. No, I'm just kidding. Where? Tell us where you're from.
Well, I grew up in Oklahoma, and when I met my husband online, I moved up here to be with him. And then we got married about 8 months later.
A nice whirlwind romance.
Yeah, it was.
Now you've been married how long? Just a little while, right?
Almost three and a half years.
Three and a half, okay. So you're cooking along here. I think when we first had you at the table, still felt like newlyweds.
We still do, actually.
Aw,
I'm looking forward to the five-year anniversary, the first milestone.
Aw, and you've been with us a few times before, but it's been a while, so I'm so glad you could be back. One of the things that we wanted to talk about with you is how we, as women of God, can share the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us as we study Scripture with other women and that kind of thing. But you've got a special ministry that you've recently started joining, actually. It's an established ministry, but it's all about counseling. And you help people through some mighty tough situations via internet, don't you?
Yes, it's online. It's Groundwire, the same ministry that partners with HopeNet 360.
Yes. And HopeNet 360, just ladies, just so you know, this radio station where you listen to us from, we partner with HopeNet 360, and we've got somebody on staff here who runs that, Jeff Stroman. It's a great program, and we've talked about that before. If you've got young people, youth, or young adults, and you just need somebody to talk to, it's every Sunday night on this radio station starting at 7 o'clock, and a great, great program. So you've teamed up with Groundwire, and tell us a little bit about this ministry.
The goal of Groundwire is to provide a safe, confidential place for teens and young adults.
Mm-hmm.
And basically any people of any age can go on there and basically just kind of pour their hearts out to the spiritual coaches there.
Mm-hmm.
And we will help them over the internet to lead them to a relationship with Christ. That's what we try to point them to. Like, they can come on with any issues. Like, it can be pretty much some really severe and tough stuff, but
yeah,
they'll come online and they'll talk to us about that, and we try to help them in practical ways, like give them practical advice, but the ultimate goal is to lead them to Jesus Christ, who can like free them from whatever they're struggling with, and or at least give them the strength to deal with it.
Excellent.
So this sounds like it's a live internet chat format.
Yes, it is. It's what it is. It's a chat software, and we usually have like a team lead, a person who who like kind of watches over the chat, so they can click on our chats and see what we're saying and everything.
Okay.
And they can even like pop into the chat and help us out if they see we're struggling or something. So it's really nice.
Oh, so you don't feel like you're out there on your own doing this. You actually have people, trained counselors who are coming alongside you as you talk with the teenagers. Is that right?
Yes. There are other spiritual coaches, and they will like come on and they'll give us advice. Like we can just pop an instant messenger thing up for them and ask them, like say, hey, I'm struggling with this or that, or I don't know how to minister to this person properly. I don't have much experience in this field. Like, for example, some of the things can be pretty hard hitting and stuff because we live in like a fallen world. And
oh, we sure do.
I would imagine stuff probably happens pretty fast when you're in this chat. Do you have any resources that are like at your fingertips that you could draw on when you are hearing these things, or rather reading them, I guess, on your screen, and you're like, oh, wow, what do I even say to this person?
Yes, we actually do. We have this little tab, and it's like canned responses or something, and it has like this huge list of links. Like, for example, if someone's dealing with alcoholism, there's like all these links, biblical resources on that. Or it's like someone's dealing with, say, marital issues, pornography, all that stuff. Like, you can just click on it and right at your fingertips. And what you can do is you can, like, put the link in the chat window and say, hey, I have a resource for you. Check this out if, like, you have nothing to say or you're stumped up on what to say to that person.
But it sounds like you do get some training. I mean, you actually go through some ways that people can help you so that you're not just stumped when you get there in that situation.
Yeah, we actually do. Before I signed up, I went through like there's like an online brochure that they sent, and it like gives you hints of what to do, like or scriptures to use to minister to people who are struggling with different areas.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you find that the people that you're conversing with are pretty receptive to the scriptures you're sharing, or is it a situation where many of the people may not even be Christians or not even aware of the Bible?
Most of the time, the people are very open to talking about anything, because when people log on to GroundWire HopeNet 360, they are desperate. And a lot of the times, though, I have found that a lot think they are Christian, but they actually aren't sure what being Christian really is. So what I do, instead of asking, oh, are you Christian? I'll ask them, so do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or I ask them, what does your relationship with Jesus Christ look like, if you have one?
Yeah, that's really good. And because, you know, these days you don't know when somebody says, I'm a Christian, what that really means. It could mean just about anything these days, can it?
Yeah, I found a lot of people who think they're Christian will say, well, I was baptized as a baby or a young child. Or my mom told me I need to get baptized, and I did it just to please her.
Yeah.
Or they'll say something like, I'm a good person. I do go to church on Easter and Christmas, something like that.
I've been there.
And sometimes they'll say, oh, I do good things. Like, I try to help people when I can. I try to be the best person I can be. But it has really nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And that's when I kind of try to open up the gospel to them.
Casey, what was it that drew you to this need? Because there is a huge need to minister to young people. What was it for you that really got you interested in a ministry like this?
Well, for me, it was actually my husband who kind of pushed me into it, because, well, I'm more of an introverted person, so I have a hard time evangelizing to people face-to-face. For me, it's a lot easier to do it in writing or on the internet. Like, I pretty much, all my inhibitions are kind of gone on the internet, so I'm able to open up to those people without the, kind of like the reservedness that I naturally have when I'm meeting new people and strangers.
Yeah, that can be daunting, because not all of us are wired the same way to go out. And I know your husband is an evangelist at heart, and he's out there. He can talk to anybody, can't he?
Oh, yes. He has the gift of evangelism. I can see that in him. And he's just wonderful. Like, he's always been such a good encourager to me, and like he's helped me to like get out of my get out of my shell or my self-pity or whatever and help me to get out and do things that I normally wouldn't do on my own. Is he just wonderful?
Yes, he is. There is a need, though, isn't there? Is there a need for more counselors like you with this organization?
Yes, we are in desperate need of it right now. We have a lot of people who do it, but it's still impossible to fill every time slot and to have a counselor on at all times. There are times where I logged on and it was either me by myself or one other person, and we try to take as many conversations as we can, but you can get burnt out very fast trying to take as many conversations as you possibly can, because, like, especially if it's a lot of people dealing with some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're desperately trying to reach out to one person, but
And I would imagine probably, like, the overnight hours might be the toughest, because I would think a lot of people are really facing their darkest moments then. And here in the United States, most of us are asleep at those times. So how does Groundwire handle that?
Well, the thing is Groundwire is a worldwide ministry, and there's like a UK branch of Groundwire, and then there is a USA branch of Groundwire, and the UK kind of covers the entire world as well as the USA does that as well. So, for example, if you have like someone on the UK side of Groundwire and someone from the USA calls in at like 3 a.m. USA time, they could actually connect with a person, say, in the UK who's already up, because it's the time difference is a lot different there.
You know, do you need to have any experience in some of the different issues that people might be writing about, say, divorce issues, marital problems, abuse, that kind of thing? Does it help, or can you go into it without having any experience in any of those things?
Well, that is actually a really good question, because there's one thing that I recommend that all people going into this ministry have taken, and it's Freedom Life Skills. Because what that does is it helps you to understand why people do the things they do, and why and what could have happened to them to cause that. And basically, other than that, it was a sound biblical knowledge and a good relationship with Jesus Christ is essential to be able to help those people.
That is a really, really good course, too. I've been through it. My husband has as well. In fact, he's been a facilitator in the life skills here. I think it started out based out of Denver, Colorado, or somewhere around there, and then Freedom Life Skills is our local branch here in Northeast Wisconsin. They actually cover the whole state of Wisconsin, I think. But it's interesting because it goes back to your childhood and talks about all the lies maybe that get programmed in us from childhood on, traumas that happen to us. And what the life skills does is it helps you form new, healthy, good, biblically based pathways. And when we really rely on our identity in Christ, makes all the difference in the world as opposed to when we're listening to those lies that are in our head from childhood.
Yes, that is very true. And the life skills, it's just an amazing thing. I've used some of the tricks from life skills in dealing with some of the chatters on Groundwire. And you could just see that it kind of like made something tick. Because they're like, oh, I never thought of it that way, or, oh, wow, thank you for that. I always thought it was my fault, and stuff like that.
Casey, what are the ages of the people that you're chatting with, and are there any issues that you see coming up more often than others?
Well, I have chatted with people in range of age from, like, 10 to, I think the oldest person I spoke to was around 52 or something. And the issues that I see the most are usually rape, and there's usually pornography, and of course self-harm like cutting, and suicidal thoughts and stuff. Those are the ones I've seen so far, but there were a few who just came on just wanting to know about general life stuff, like coming of age, stuff like that.
Oh, that's really a great, what a great resource that is. And I have to say that there are some young people, well, all young people are dealing with the world today just as fallen as the ones that we dealt with when we were that age, but different challenges, very different challenges. And the cutting you mentioned is one of them. There are others as well. Do you need to kind of have some insight into that world, perhaps if you didn't grow up with any knowledge of why people cut and that kind of thing, or other things, video games, that kind of thing? Any kind of experience there help?
Yes, it does. It actually is. It's very helpful to understand like why people want to do that, because like if you never struggled with that as a child or teen or whatever, it can be really hard to kind of understand. Like, for myself, I'll just divulge a little bit of information, but growing up, I never harmed myself, but there were times that I was in so much pain and stuff, like, yeah, internally, that I wanted to do something to get rid of it, and sometimes I would just, like, wish there was some way to let it out,
yeah,
and stuff, and I can understand that's why a lot of people do it.
Yeah, I've heard, now, I don't know a lot about that particular one, but I've heard that the feeling of pain actually is a release for the person going through it. So they want to feel the pain because they feel numb. Is that what you found?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Some people do it because like, well, they've buried their emotions so much that they just want to feel something, even if, yeah, it's painful, and, yeah, and it's kind of the only thing that can make them feel like a person again.
Yes.
I think there's a really good book that's called, I think it's, she wrote Love on Her Arms, mm-hmm, and it talks about that cutting issue, and I've seen how some of the people describe it as they almost like envision the pain flowing out of them as they see the blood flowing, yeah, out of them when they mutilate their arms or cut their arms. And it may be hard for us to really understand that. I mean, I think we've all felt pain at one point or, yeah, the other, but to seek to release it in that way, from what I understand, that can be incredibly addictive. And it's very, very hard to break yourself from doing that. So do you see a lot of these people that struggle with things like that, maybe coming back again and again for more help, more advice, just someone to listen to them?
Yes, actually I have. There were people who came on and they said that they can't stop cutting or whatever. Yeah. They're trying to, but they always go back to doing it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find a way that they can stop, and it's almost like a temptation or whatever, like they eventually get so much pain or numbness built up that they have to let it out, and it's kind of like a habit or whatever.
Now with GroundWire, are you able to have the same person come back to the person that initially talked to them? So if you had started a conversation with someone and they come back and you're actually working that day and online on that day, can they come to you? Or is it kind of a random assignment?
It's mostly random. What happens is whenever a caller rings in, a coach can choose to either ignore or to accept that next call. The other thing that can happen is the other coaches, say if that person gets picked up by a coach they didn't really like, a coach can transfer them to the one that they asked for. Like, for example, I've seen females and males come on and they want to another male or another female because they have issues that only another female or another male could understand.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah.
And they would ask questions like, okay, so are you a girl? I want to make sure you're a girl before I talk to you.
Mm.
And if you're like, you're not the gender of person they're looking for, you can say, no, but I can transfer you to another male or another female.
Yeah, especially in those instances of rape that you talked about.
Yes.
That would be critical.
Yeah. Yes, exactly, because a lot of victims of rape, they don't like to talk to the males or females if it's a male who's been victimized by a female.
Yeah. Casey, I want to let the ladies at the table know, if you're listening to this and you're wondering what is GroundWire, how can I find out more? Perhaps you could maybe be a counselor yourself. We've got the website groundwire.net, and we're going to put that on our site at naomistable.com. If you're looking for it or you can't remember what it was, we'll have that on there today, but it really offers, you know, the world an opportunity to leverage our technology to bring Christ to those who are just hurting and need to reach out.
And you can also access that through HopeNet360.com,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, HopeNet360 is our ministry here, and we're linked right up to that at Naomi's Table, HopeNet360.com. And we actually do that radio program every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And a lot of people do access GroundWire at that time because they really want that. They really need to talk to people, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. That is very true.
Yeah. You know, ladies, this is really important to be able to impart our wisdom, our what we've been given as our eternal treasure in God to other people who are just, maybe they don't know Christ, or maybe they think they do, or they're just struggling with something. Any age can do this, can't they, Casey?
Yes, it has no age limit, but the main ages that use this resource, of course, are teens and young adults, like up to like 30, age 30, because that's usually when you have like the issues of school, like growing up, adolescence, college. That's a huge one right there.
Yeah, and I know this was launched back in 1995, so this is a ministry that's been around for a while. It is solid. It's been reaching people 24 hours a day for all of these years. What is that, about 21 years now, maybe a little bit more. And I'll tell you what, it's so needed these days as the world is telling our children something else is much more important than our faith. And so they're getting it in the schools. They're getting that everywhere in the world. And so we're being, constantly challenged to help our children understand what the world is going to tell you is that Christ doesn't matter, is that none of that matters. It's all about making yourself happy. And that message really has permeated everything, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Nowadays, I think our kids and young adults are struggling more than ever because of just the amount of depravity that is spreading throughout the world and throughout media. The access of the internet allows information that previously couldn't be accessed to be accessed at fingertips of kids and teens and everything.
Yeah.
They're just being bombarded with like messages about sex and everything. Mm.
And while ideally I know we as parents want our children to come to us to talk about whatever it is they're facing, you know, sometimes they just might not be ready for that yet. So parents, it's comforting for you to know that there is a ministry like this out here so that they can, if they know there's something going on in their child, but their child won't open up to them, they could say, well, you know, that's okay if you don't want to talk to me, but you really need to talk to somebody in here. Why don't you log in here and see maybe what they have to say to you? Mm-hmm. And just have that comfort of knowing their child's going to get help from somebody. Even though you're hurt, I know that they're not really willing to come to you.
And we need to help them understand, too, there is no shame in reaching out. I know that Nancy and I, in our generation, the message was, no, you keep that in the family. You don't ever tell anybody your problems. That stays here, and if we can't figure it out, we're just going to bury it. And so many of us grew up that way. But, you know, the internet is being leveraged for good. Not everything on the internet is bad. Groundwire.net is one of the good ones. And I'll tell you what, interesting, I've got some figures here. GroundWire, since it has started 24 hours a day, it averages 233,000 visits a month around the world. Isn't that incredible?
Yes, that is amazing what we're being able to do and the people we're being able to reach with this ministry and to just provide an outlet for people who like you said, I know what you mean about the keep your mouth shut, don't talk about it to anyone kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a really tough thing. So, and we need to understand too that even if you can't be a counselor, and we're not trying to push that on anybody, but if you're feeling so inspired, certainly you can go to groundwire.net and check that out. But pray for this ministry. I think we need to be praying more for ministries like this, and counselors like Casey who do. You're on the front lines, even though you're sitting at home and you're behind your computer as an introvert. You really are on the front lines, aren't you?
Yes, and it's definitely a spiritual battle. I do recommend that anyone who becomes a counselor, before you log on, before you even click on the little icon that you pray, and that you pray that God will use the Holy Spirit to speak to those people and that anything you say will be of God.
Yeah.
And that has helped tremendously. I know when I first started, which was about 2 months ago, I would just hop on all eager to talk to people and I would do it sometimes before I prayed, and I ended up getting overwhelmed and was like, I don't know what to say.
Aww.
And then once I started praying, I noticed that the words that needed to be said just kind of flowed out. of me, not of my own will, but I think it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And I had some interesting things happen. Like, I would pray that the Lord would send people that I would be able to better minister to.
Mm-hmm.
And the times that I prayed for that, he sent people who were struggling with their marriages.
Ah, and you just love that topic, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I know that marriage is very dear and near and dear to your heart. And I just thank you for stepping forward and for doing this. I just so needed in the world today.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, no problem. We're going to continue to pray for you, Casey. Again, if you're interested at all, groundwire.net, and at the very least, we can tell our children about this resource. Leave the internet address around. There's actually a phone number, too, if you want to connect and see what this is all about. But I tell you what, there's a statement of faith there. You can check out what the live chat is about before you recommend it to your kids or your youth group. Highly recommend just taking a look at that. We're going to have all the links on our website, too. Casey, thank you so much for being a part of Naomi's Table once again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We really enjoy when you're here. Love to have you in person, too. That's fantastic. Tell you what, ladies, what we're going to do right now is we are going to prepare for our Bible study. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel, and we're going to get back to that. Beth Seifert is standing by with today's lesson, and we'll do that in just a moment.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, it's time to open up our Bibles. We've got Beth Seifert standing by with today's Bible study in 1 Samuel.
Thanks, Amy. It's always good to be here. Well, if you remember from yesterday, we were listening to Samuel talking to the people and explaining to the people why what they have done is such a wicked thing. And today we're going to continue in that theme. Samuel is still speaking to the people, and we're going to see what happens next. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 through 25. Now therefore, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil to ask for ourselves a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Now Samuel concludes with a show of power from God to demonstrate his power and who's in control. It's the time of the wheat harvest, which usually was mid-April to mid-June, and God is going to send rain. Rain only usually fell about twice a year in this area of the world, and they called it the former and latter rain. But between the months of March and April, it was very unusual to have rain. So Samuel is drawing their attention to their surroundings with his words. It was the wheat harvest. Men were in the field, harvesting the wheat. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was a perfect wheat harvest day. If it had been cloudy or threatening, they wouldn't have been out in the field. Rain, in case you're curious, is not good for a wheat harvest. If you harvest the wheat in the rain and the wheat is wet and not allowed to dry out, it will mold and be completely useless. So God is not necessarily ruining their crop, but he's reminding them who is truly in charge of their lives and their provisions. See, as the judge of the people, Samuel could do as much or more by his prayers to God than a king could do with a sword. The Israelites had had no need of a king. They had sufficient proof of that before this, and they were about to get another reminder that they didn't need a human king. So the people ask Samuel to pray and intercede for them as they confess their sins. Now, they're at least appearing to be contrite right now. And because they know that Samuel has a true relationship, a real connection with God in prayer that they don't really have, they beg Samuel to call on his God. They don't even have the assurance right now that the Lord is their God, but they have no doubt that he is Samuel's God and hears Samuel's prayers. And Samuel's reply to this request does not let them off the hook. He reminds them that they did do evil, but also reminds them to keep their eyes and hearts on God for rescue. God chose to make man, and he chose Israel as his people. He isn't fickle like we are. He doesn't switch to another nation when Israel messes up. God will still be there for them as they seek him, not seeking idols. Now, Samuel knows his job and his responsibilities, and he will wholeheartedly do them. He will continue to teach the people the correct path. He will continue to intercede for them and care for them, too, even when he's frustrated with them. Samuel knows that he's not in control, but he knows that God is, and that is the way it is supposed to be. But Samuel has an intimate relationship with God, too, and it grieves Samuel to see his Lord treated this way by his people. Think about people that you've known who have been hurt by someone else, especially if it's a loved one. And when that happens, you grieve with that loved one and you want to make things right for them. Think about how much this was magnified for Samuel. He has a relationship with God. He loves God. And he sees how the people are so ugly towards him. They're treating him with such disrespect. And he knows all that God has truly done for them. This was 10 times worse for him to watch his Lord be treated this way by the people that God had chosen to love. Through all of this, Samuel reminds them where their focus should be: on God. He's there to lead and to guide them when they're seeking him. They will find him. He's there to guide us, too. We aren't perfect, but that's not the same thing as persisting in evil. This is a heart matter all the way through. Where does your heart lie? God will judge in the end, and when we keep our hearts seeking him, we know our hearts are focused on the right path. In our house, when we discuss repentance with our sons, we talk about it in this way. We know when one is repentant because they stop doing what is wrong, they agree with God that it was wrong, and they turn and go toward God and away from the sin that they committed. However, we aren't going to do this perfectly, and we know that. We, like Lot's wife, are going to turn and look back and stumble as we go forward, but repentance is the pattern of going toward God and away from sin, not reveling in the sin that we are in. So we tell our sons, have you stopped? Have you agreed with God that it was wrong? And are you turning away from the sin and going toward God? We look for the pattern, the big picture. Are you moving away from sin and toward God? Or are you still hanging out in your sin and occasionally glancing back towards God? God is constant, and that's an amazing gift for all of us. Even when we're at our most broken and we create our own idols or ask for things or demand things that aren't any good for us anyway, and then we scheme to get those things even when we should run the other way, God is still there to love us and care for us and to forgive us when we turn back to him. The most amazing part of it all is that he does love us through all of that. He cherishes us and mourns with us and rejoices with us. He's there through all of it, no matter what we're going through. We serve an amazing, amazing God. Now, Jesus says in the New Testament that the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Not one of us, while we are in this body, in these human bodies, has ever had even one moment where we have done that perfectly, where we have worshiped God, where we have loved God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind as He deserves to be worshiped and loved. And yet He still loves us. So my challenge today is for us all to ask ourselves if we have been seeking His will with all our hearts. Is there something that we need, that you need to repent about? Is there something that I need to repent about? To stop doing, to agree with God that it is wrong, that it is something in my life that does not belong there, that it is sin, and to turn away from it and turn back towards Him. He's the only one who can ever fill us up with what we truly need anyway. So take a look today and see where your focus is.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. The food is ready. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back to the table. In that segment prior, we just had our Bible study with Beth Seifert, and this one is titled Judgment and a Warning. It is lesson number 28. If you'd like to go and download the notes and the study guide and the little 10-minute podcast that Beth put together. Nancy, this Judgment and a Warning, what did you get out of today's Bible study?
Oh, I think it's really, really neat. You know, here he has really confronted them with the sin of rebellion
yes.
that they have committed against God and how horrendous that was, and to kind of, as she says, put the exclamation point mm-hmm. on what he's just said. He calls down judgment from God. And it's interesting when you look at it. I mean, you know, he called down rain. Okay, well, that doesn't sound so bad unless you're going to have hail and all that sort of stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the timing of it, it was during the wheat harvest. And she says it was a perfect wheat harvest day without a cloud in the sky. And it never rained this time of year, I guess. And so to show them the power of God and His disappointment in them, He has God cause it to rain, and that ends up ruining the wheat that they're trying to harvest.
Interesting, too, that He also talked to them about their specific sins and told them that this is why you've done all this evil, and continually beseeching them, do not turn away from the Lord, but serve Him with all of your heart. So even as this judgment is going to come, He is still beseeching them, stop being idolatrous. You know, these idols can do you absolutely no good.
Yeah, and then sadly, the people beg Samuel to call on his God. And just once again, showing they don't have any relationship with God at all.
Yeah, it's almost as if they're asking him to do some kind of magical incantation rather than go before the holy God of the universe, before his throne in prayer.
Yeah, and the whole purpose of this, of course, was to show them that the wrath of God was worse than what any king that would come against them could do. So, you know, by demanding a human king, they were looking at human solutions to their problems of enemies all around rather than relying on their true king, God. And not only didn't they rely on him, they didn't obey him, not in the slightest.
And yet Samuel said, yes, I will pray for you. Far be it for me to sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. So he did that, and he said, I will teach you the way that is good and right. So he's going to be their teacher.
Yeah, and of course, you know, God hasn't given up on them. because if he had, they would have been utterly destroyed by now. So,
well, yeah, and he even warned them. He said, you know, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. So huge, huge warning there to, you know, turn away.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when she points out at the end of the lesson there that none of us could ever love him with all our heart, soul, and mind as he commands and he deserves. So it really is a good heart check of, am I even trying?
Yeah.
Am I even trying to come close? I mean, you know, we know we can never achieve it, but that doesn't alleviate the responsibility to try, does it?
Well, and the thing is, we've got a Savior, and we've got a Savior to guide us in those things. We've got the Holy Spirit, and as we abide in Christ, He opens our eyes and helps us to love God more by understanding Him.
And you know, the Holy Spirit comes with the grace that will allow us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But unless we empty ourselves out of our sweet selves and we take more of Him in, surrendering more and more and more of our lives to Him. And yeah, you're right. We're not going to be there all the way in this side of heaven. But the more we give up, the more we surrender of our lives, our desires, our passions, our wishes, and the more of God's that we take on, the more we will be able to obey that command to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind.
Yes, and you know, the study notes that Beth has today are great. They really have you searching within yourself to see, you know, kind of holding up a mirror to our own sanctification process. And, it asks some great questions. And I look at the Israelites of the day, and I look at our challenges as Christians now with the Holy Spirit in us. Yet, we're not that much different than the Israelites, are we?
No. Just like them, we are looking everywhere and at everything to satisfy us rather than God. And you know what? If you chased after those things like I did when I was in college, it never satisfies. You can feed the flesh all you want, and it's still going to be hungry.
Yeah.
And unless you surrender that flesh, you crucify it, allow God to put it to death, then you will finally be able to, if you do that, you will be able to be satisfied with God, because He is the only thing that does satisfy.
You know, ladies, there are a lot of things that we in our flesh continue to chase after to fill us up, whether it's compliments from others or opening that refrigerator door just one more time to see what's in there. You know, if we put aside our flesh and really ask God, Lord, in my own power, I can't, but You can. You can show me how to abide in You. You can show me how to love You more, how to understand You more through Your Word, Your Scripture. I think it's so important, Nancy, that again, and it may sound like we're broken records here at Naomi's Table, but really abiding in Scripture, really understanding Him through His Word, you can't read that enough. You cannot overindulge in the Bible, can you?
No, and the other thing is Dave tells us in the Psalms to search our hearts, allow God to search our hearts, and show us any wicked way in us, and we need to do that too.
Yeah.
And He is faithful. He will reveal things to you that you do need to repent of. And we have to stop looking at repentance as a punishment. It's not. It's a gift.
Yes, it is.
It's something He gives us so that we can take more and more of Him inside of us and be more conformed to that image and likeness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, ladies, it doesn't take much more than an attitude change to understand that we do need a Savior. And really, rather than Nancy and I trying to give a how-to lesson, just ask the Lord to do this for you. Ask Him to change your heart. Ask Him. Be in His Word. Be at His feet. We're going to leave it here for right now. When we come back, some final scripture verses to strengthen your walk and nourish the rest of your day. We'll be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com.
Got a minute? This is Pat Hess, and I'm here at Naomi's Table with a Matthew Minute.
Matthew 26:45-46. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Are you sleeping? Take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." It must be frustrating for Jesus to continually work with those who do not get it, even though it is staring them in the face. It's not like these guys did not have a good teacher or the right information, or even the opportunity to ask God Himself any question they desired. They had God's Word walking with them. Yet, even though they were given much, they seemed to possess little understanding. Having information is one thing, and having understanding is another. This whole chapter was confusing to the disciples because it did not fit into what they had hoped for and what they dreamed about. Reality seemed to crash into their nightmare and woke them up, leaving them in a delusional stupor. Today, if we enter the world of the delusional, we get medicine. When our only hope for healing is dealing with the information we have and not ignoring it. I'm Pat Hess, and Minute by Minute, we'll explore the book of Matthew at Naomi's Table.
Have a question or comment for Naomi's Table? Send an email to connect@naomistable.com. Now, back to the table.
Welcome back to the table. Glad you could stick with us for our final segment, in which what we do is open up the Bible and just leave you with one last thought from Scripture. Maybe we'll go a little bit long, but, you know, it really helps to hear it in context, doesn't it, Nancy?
It sure does. And we're going to go back to what I was just referencing. And it's Psalm 139, a Psalm of David. And we're going to read verses 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee if you pray that as a prayer, God is faithful. He will show you.
He will indeed. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us at the table. We're going to do this again. We'll be here all week, as the comedians say. So tune in every day at noon here at the table. And let us know what you think. If you hear anything on this program and you've got some questions or like to make some comments, you can send us an email at connect@naomistable.com, or simply go on our Facebook page, and we'd love to respond to you there. All right, we're going to leave it here at the table. We will see you tomorrow. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.